So I'm going to read from a book called the Bhagavad Gita As It Is. And this book is philosophical. So this is chapter 13, actually 14, text number 18. 19. Nanyang gunebhya kartaram yada drashta nupashiti gunebhyascha pramveti madbhavam sodigachiti. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When one properly sees in all activities no other performers at work than these modes of nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. So please repeat. When one properly sees that in all activities no other performer is at work than these modes of nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. Purport. One can transcend all the activities and the modes of material nature simply by understanding them properly, by learning from the proper souls. The real spiritual master is Krishna, and he is imparting this spiritual knowledge to Arjuna. Similarly, it is from those who are fully in Krishna consciousness that one has to learn the science of activities in terms of the modes of nature. Otherwise, one's life will be misdirected. By the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, a living entity can know of his spiritual position, his material body, his senses, how he is entrapped, and how he is under the spell of the material modes of nature. Is helpless, being in the grip of these modes. But when he can see his real position, then he can obtain to the transcendental platform, having the scope for spiritual life. Actually, the living entity is not the performer of different activities. He is forced to act because he is situated in a particular type of body conducted by some particular mode of material nature. Unless one has the help of spiritual authority, cannot understand in what position he is actually situated. With the association of a bona fide spiritual master, he can see his real position, and by such an understanding, he can become fixed in full Krishna consciousness. A man in Krishna consciousness is not controlled by the spell of the material modes of nature. It has already been stated in the 7th chapter that one who is surrendered to Krishna is relieved from the activities of material nature. For one who is able to see things as they are, the influence of material nature gradually ceases. So the verse again. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram idadrashtanu pashiti gunebhyascha pramveti madbhavam sodigachiti. When one properly sees that in all activities no other performers at work than these modes of nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. Here it mentions that there are different parts of our philosophy. In other words, our philosophy in one sense has two basic elements. One element is we're not this body, and that we're spirit souls. The other is that there is a God, a supreme person, who's controlling everything, who is the supreme enjoyer of everything, and the supreme friend of everyone. So with these two aspects of philosophy, it sounds quite simple, except that there are other elements in the philosophy, like we may be spirit souls, we're not this body, but we more or less convinced we are. So that's called something called illusion. And then there's something called karma. We're not only an illusion, we're being situated in different situations in the material existence, according to our previous and present activities. And then there's the process of liberation. In other words, there are many different philosophical aspects to Krishna consciousness. Not only we're not this body, that we're eternal souls, but and that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but there are different elements to help us realize the reality. Now, the next step is, after hearing all this philosophy, is to try to put it into some perspective. Now, here is a very advanced perspective, that we're not the doer of activities. So that for one who hasn't understood to a large extent that we're not this body, it's inconceivable how we're not the doer of our activities. And even if we're not the doer of our activities, it more or less appears to us that we are. And if we're not, then what's the difference between if I was or I wasn't? What's the difference? So these things require some perspective. And that perspective generally is obtained by not only trying to assimilate the philosophy by seeing it from different points of view, but also by hearing from persons who have actually understood these things properly. Now, the aim is not just to get a proper perspective on things, but that's necessary for proper activities. Unless we know how to practically apply this philosophy, then we can't actually experience it. We can't realize that we're not this body. We can't experience Krishna as the controller, as the enjoyer, as the friend of everyone. In other words, it remains just philosophy, some philosophy. And therefore, most of the time, devotees, when they hear this philosophy, they fall asleep because it's just philosophy. Because unless we actually hear it from different points of view, so that it makes sense to in our practical lives, it doesn't make any sense in our practical lives. Most people aren't born trying to understand that we're not this body. Nor do we go to school and they're teaching us step by step the science of self-realization. As a matter of fact, I'm sure most people in Ljubljana right now think we're crazy. That why did anyone come to this Hare Krishna movement trying to find out that we're not this body? They must be, has some kind of self-esteem problem, that they don't like their body or something. Trying to get rid of it. Hopefully they're not suicidal or anything. So this is actually very deep philosophy. Krishna begins with that basic principle that we're not the body, and he explains it very simply, that we have so many bodies, and we have a body which is constantly changing, and the most obvious changes are from boyhood to youth to old age, but the soul within the body, ourselves, what makes this body conscious, we're not changing, and therefore we're going through so many different types of material existence, whether a boy existence or a girl existence, or an old existence, whatever. But we ourselves are the same eternal soul experiencing so many varieties of material existence. Now, for most people, they simply want the knowledge of how to get a better material existence. In other words, if I was giving a class of how to make money and influence people, how to make friends and influence people, probably we'd have more attendees. Because it seems pretty practical. Because if I learn how to make friends and influence people, then I can make more money. And I can get a bigger house, a bigger car, I can get more prestige. So many things that everyone thinks is desirable will come more easily. Of course, these things will not help me understand who I am, which most people don't think is very important, because they think they know who they are. So again, if we were this body, then which body are we? Are we the little body that was going goo 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 goo? Are we that body? Was that us? Or is now this body that we're in, and our minds, our intelligence, is this who we are? Or when we get old and we start going, goo, 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 are we the old man's body or the old woman's body? Who are we? No, actually we're the person who's experiencing these things. And what are we experiencing? We're experiencing the material universe, which has been put into a certain perspective by our education. Now, obviously, some people are satisfied with their education. They're actually proud of their education. And they have something to show for it. They have, you know, if you go to someone's office, they have so many diplomas. I'm a MA, I'm a PhD, I'm a NCCA or something, ABCD. They have a diploma to prove that they know something. But no one has ever gotten a diploma in self-realization that I know. I realize not that I am a self-realized soul diploma. And even to get that self-realized soul diploma, you'd have to go through so many other undergraduate degrees. I'm renounced from the fruits of my work. I've developed transcendental knowledge. I become a servant of the servant of Krishna, etc. So most people have been trained since childhood by their parents, by their friends, by their teachers, in order to have a material perspective on this world. For instance, if you go to school, you'll have everyone take science. And what is science? Is explanation for the universe. Everything came out of nothing. So that's a little hard perspective. Everything came out of nothing. Anyhow, this learned scientists have told us, so it must be true, everything came out of nothing. So if I think too hard about it, I'll go crazy. So better I don't think about it, because the scientists, either they're crazy, or they already thought it out, and they figured it out. Probably they're crazy, but anyhow. In other words, if everything came out of nothing, then why don't more things come out of nothing? Did nothing have everything in it, and then it exhausted itself and became more less than nothing after everything came out? Nothing was a little fat, but after it produced everything, it lost weight and decided it didn't have to lose any more weight. So, or now it's less than nothing. So, if that's clear to you, then the rest of our philosophy should be easy to understand. In any case, and then everything is gone by accident. All these planets floating in the orbits exactly by accident. No one knows how this accident formed, but it must have been an accident. Because if it wasn't an accident, then there would be a god or a controller behind the whole thing, and that's not allowed. That's a no-no. No-no. That makes things too easy. Any other philosophy, you know, there's black holes that everything went into, or black holes everything came out of, or that's all right. But if you bring in God, ooh, you're a fanatic. In other words, the whole modern education is basically completely atheistic, illogical, fanatical, but everyone's been brainwashed by it. And therefore, we feel uneasy when we're presented with something so obvious is that things don't come out of nothing. Otherwise, if things came out of nothing, I just clasp my hands together, just wait to be filled up with something. It doesn't happen. Try it. Put your hands together. Just wait till everything comes into your hands. Or if everything comes, there's no order to the universe, no one's controlling it, that it's all by accident, the planets are moving their orbits. It's just by accident. We eat food. Part of it gets digested. Part of it gets assimilated. parts of it become eliminated. It's just all an accident. Then make a machine and have it eat, have it grind up food, go through its system, and the other side, milk will come out. Just make such a machine, and we'll be impressed. But someone has to make the machine. Just like the Big Bang Company, they wanted to renovate this temple, and they wanted a lot of money for it, because they were following science. So the idea was they were going to put dynamite all over the temple and blow the temple into a better structure by a big bang. And if the temple fell apart and it was a mess, they'd say, oh, it didn't work this time. We got to try it again. So they get more of a dynamite and blow whatever's left. Second big bang. And if that didn't work, they keep on blowing up what's ever left until finally we get a gorgeous temple. Because they're following science, the Big Bang temple theory. Now this building was made by intelligent people who put together the electricity, the plumbing, the construction, the walls, the pillars. Everything was done intelligently, systematically, and therefore it fits together and it works. And how can the universe, which is infinitely more complicated, be by blown out of nothing into perfection? In other words, which is the clearer perspective on things? That everything came out of nothing by accident, and that it's all random? Or that there's an intelligent design behind everything, there's a logic and order made by a supremely intelligent person who does it for some reason, and obviously he's providing necessities of life to people, and therefore he has to have some degree of friendship towards all living entities. So that's called perspective. Now, we take a bunch of knowledge that it's all an accident, and it's all coming from nothing, and it's all, there's no purpose or meaning of life, and then we try to put that in perspective. Obviously, it's rather depressing. And then the other part of it is, no, there is a purpose of life, is to eat as much as you can and not get sick. And if you get sick, then science will save you by replacing everything in your body with a new liver, a new stomach, a new lungs, a new brain, a new everything. So you can go on eating and then sleeping, and especially important is mating. And if you can't defend, at least you can play video games and kill things theoretically, virtually. And eventually, nowadays, people are not even interested in eating, sleeping, mating, defending. It all has to be virtual. So people have been known to play these video games up to 3 or 4 days without eating or sleeping or even going to the bathroom, and then having problems and dying. Virtually, of course. Enter into the virtual game. So that's one set of knowledge, and obviously there's going to be perspective. And what is the result? What are people's conviction? According to Bhagavad Gita, the conviction is that to gratify the senses is the aim of life. And they follow it until the time of death. So they have a perspective and they have a conviction, and they'll follow it no matter what happens. Just like there was one man, he got run over in Howard Station in India by a train, and his body was cut in half. So one man came over to him and said, is there anything I can do to help you? He said, you have a cigarette. His body was just cut in half, and now he wants a cigarette. Because after all, he's about to die, he might as well smoke his last cigarette. So with a particular set of knowledge, conceptions, then there will be a perspective automatically given to us, not automatically, but also trained into us. What is the purpose of life? How to utilize the time we have between now and leaving this body? What happens after this body? There's a whole perspective on things. And then people are convinced and they wind up working like very hard, like a dog, they say. They sleep like a bear. They have sex like pigeons. And they defend themselves like tigers. Because that's what they're convinced. And what would be the result of their skill? They think if the more skillful I become in eating, sleeping, mating, defending, the more my life becomes successful. In other words, if you go to the newspaper, if you go to the magazine store, you go to the library, what skills are they trying to develop within people? How to eat better. People want to eat healthier. They want to sleep better. So many books on magazines on how to have better sex life. And maybe karate or different types of self-defense. How to win friends and influence people, whatever. Somehow or another, it's all centered around making a happier, longer, better material existence. That's the skills. And what kind of character do they develop? Well, we can see if people try to improve their lives, they try to eat better, healthier, if they try to live a little bit more in harmony with the modes of material nature, then their character usually becomes more in goodness, which is one of the modes mentioned here. And if they just want to get everything they can out of this short existence, make money, so they can buy a bigger house, a faster car. They can have more, you know, three dogs instead of one. Then they're in the mode of passion. And they, as it says, people work. They sacrifice their health in their youth to get money. And in old age, they sacrifice their money to get health. So this is inevitable by that perspective of passion. Just work like as hard as possible, make as much money as possible, and enjoy as much as possible. And in the mode of ignorance, oh, it doesn't really matter, I'm just going to burn myself out. I'm just going to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Have a marathon. Just like I mentioned in New Orleans, they have a festival every year. It's called Mardi Gras. Anyone here ever heard of Mardi Gras? Yes, Mardi Gras. They have a marathon for 1 week straight. Everyone competes to see who can eat more, who can sleep on the street, have more sex with all kinds of living entities, and fight as much as possible, yell and scream. And play rock music so you can't even hear yourself think. So the devotees one time, they went out in a van to chant the holy names on the street during the Mardi Gras, purify a few living entities there, show them a little mercy and kindness. And as soon as they got out of the van and started to chant Hare Krishna, the police immediately came and arrested them all. And it charged them with disturbing the peace. So from the materialistic point of view, then becoming advanced will be determined by those line of criteria. So either they're right, and actually we are this body, and there is no purpose in life other than sense gratification, or they're wrong, that we're actually not this body, and which body are we talking about? That this changing body, which is a little baby body, 5-year-old body, we're still we're still the same person in this body, and we'll continue to be the same person. Now, what do we actually want? We want to know how to become happy. But how can I be happy if I'm thinking I'm myself to be this body. Because after all, this body has to die. And in between, it has to grow old, it has to become diseased, and then we have to leave the body, and where are we going next? Now most people just choose to forget this whole thing. That this is much too complicated, you're so philosophical, and besides that, we've already learned the truth, that we are this body, and the purpose of life is to enjoy the senses, and now you're throwing in this religious philosophy about this body, not being myself, and so many other things, and next you're going to tell me about God. Tell me to repent. You're going to burn. Repent, sinner. But actually, it's quite simple. That we're not this body, and if we want to be happy, happiness cannot be solely found within a body. This is always changing. There must be something else. Because we didn't put ourselves in this body. We don't take ourselves out of this body. We don't have any control over this ever-changing material existence. So, one who's a little in the human form of life, we're supposed to be inquisitive. What is this all about? So that's why we have Bhagavad Gita, to tell us what this is all about. And then if we read it, try to put it into some perspective, what it means for me in my daily existence, then we might get another perspective on reality, and maybe that might change our determination, what we're going to do. And if we act in a different way, maybe we'll get a different experience. And if we get a different experience, then we can learn how to become more expert in what's being described, and that will mold our character, our way we relate to others, in a way that will be more spiritual and less simply trying to exploit others with the idea that I must follow the dictation of my senses and my mind, whatever they're telling me. I must believe in my whatever conceptions of life I've been taught by all these learned people, like my friends in school, my teachers, the newspapers, whatever magazines we read, and especially Facebook and television. They must be true, otherwise how is it on television? Whatever comes on television becomes the truth. So I'll stop there, thank you. But one thing is that was mentioned is we have this book called Hopes This Meets You in Good Health. So there's a book about health, obviously. And half of it is Srila Prabhupada's instructions on health. Because this Hare Krishna movement is not impractical, this body that we have has to be taken care of. Although we declare that we're not the body, just like we declare we're not a car. As I've said before, someone may think themselves to be their car, which is called aham, and in Sanskrit it's called aham car, I am the car. But we're not the car. We're the soul within the car. We're the passenger in the car. So similarly, we're the passenger in this material body, but we should take care of the body so that we can perform the activities that will actually clarify or purify our existence so we can realize that we're not this body and we can meet personally the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that requires some amount of time, and to have that time, we need a healthy body. So this Prabhupada gave us so many instructions on how to keep a healthy body. And the second part of the book are some articles that I wrote about, mostly from Ayurveda, on how to also keep a healthy body so we can perform our devotional activities with more enthusiasm, more consistency, and more clarity. So these are available outside, so if you like one, they're on the table there. So I'll stop there. Are there any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. If we are not doers of our activities, how then can we change our wrong activities even though we know knowledge in theory, but still we some of us can do it.
Well, actually, it's not exactly accurate to say that we have no part in our activities. Actually, we have the most important part in our activities that we do. We have the capacity to desire by our free will. So now what we desire is not independent in the sense that we desire whatever we've heard, whatever is coming to, well, we could say whatever comes to our mind, we have choices. We can accept what comes to my mind. I can reject what comes to my mind. I can become neutral to what comes to my mind. So we have different options, the things that are passing through our mind. Now, we have a capacity to desire, but generally speaking, we can only desire what the options are. We can't desire for things that we know nothing about or that are beyond our capacity. Just like, for instance, I may desire to fly right now, but it's very unlikely my desire will be fulfilled immediately. I can think about how can I fly, and I can flap my hands up and down, and faster, faster. Ooh. But it probably won't work. On the other hand, I can desire, for instance, in a few minutes after the kirtan, there will be prasadam. So my mind may say, my intelligence may say, well, there's food, why don't you go and eat? And I'll desire to go move the... And then the desire is sensed by the super soul within the heart, and he arranges it through his energy, spiritual or material, that there I am in front of prasadam. And then Krishna gives us the intelligence. Do you want to raise your hand? And we go, sure, go for it. And there the food goes into our mouth. And then Krishna says, do you want to chew? I don't have time. All right, swallow. So at every second, every moment, there is always intelligence coming from Krishna, and our desire is a factor, and our circumstances are a factor, etc. Now, how to do better? Well, we have to put the instructions coming from Krishna in the center of our consciousness, and then desire those desires that Krishna is telling us. It's like Krishna may say, well, this is prasadam, try and honor it. Eat it lovingly, eat it carefully, think about Krishna, how he so kindly provided it. So we can do that also. We can dovetail our desires and desire like that. Yes, now I'm going to eat it very carefully, thoughtfully, remembering Krishna. So then we become a servant of the instructions or the desires coming down through our disciplic succession, and we desire to serve Krishna's desires. Then we become dovetailed with Krishna rather than the millions of desires that are coming through our existence from this life and previous lives, all these people telling us what to do with this body. Is that clear?
So it's not only gunas pushing us into wrong activities, it's more like our desires to enjoy instead of serving Krishna.
That's right. In other words, the gunas are simply opportunities to enjoy in different ways. For one, in the mode of goodness, when they hear enjoyment in the mode of ignorance or passion seems abominable. And for one in ignorance, then enjoyment in the modes of passion and goodness seems like they're simply they're fantasies. The real enjoyment is in ignorance. And similarly, passion has a certain mode of enjoyment. And people who are in that mode, they're conditioned by that type of enjoyment. But if they hear, if they give good association, they hear a higher standard of enjoyment, possibility of enjoyment, change their desires by accepting the higher standard, then they can also experience another mode of nature or even a spiritual mode, transcendental mode, they hear from the right source. So desire to enjoy is eternal because by nature, we're supposed to be enjoying. What we enjoy, that depends upon our association. What the association will present different opportunities to us to enjoy, different knowledge of how to enjoy and opportunities to enjoy, and simply up to us if we accept it or not. But we'll have to accept some kind of mode of enjoyment. If we don't accept ignorance, then we have to accept passion. If we don't accept passion or ignorance, then we have to accept goodness. If we don't accept any mode, we accept transcendental mode, the knowledge coming down to simple succession, and actually hear it, try to put it in perspective, apply it, gain some confidence in it, it becomes a habit, becomes our existence, then our experience changes. And as our experience changes, therefore, as it says here, then our determination changes. What we want to get good at. What we want to become expert at. Then we want to become expert at becoming a humble servant of Krishna's servants and exchanging loving exchanges with Krishna and all his devotees. That becomes the skill we're trying to acquire rather than the skill of making money or the skill of taking varieties of intoxication or the skill of walking the park and smelling the flowers or whatever else. Is that clear?
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Anything else? Okay, it's all right. Thank you very much. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.